you like looking at one another? This is different, isn't it? It's going to take a little bit to get used to, and then we'll change it up again for you, just to keep you on your toes. You will see my back at times because I can't face everybody at the same time, or I will get dizzy. Don't want to do that. We have been looking at all of this year of being fully devoted. Fully devoted. And the message today is the same message you heard January the 6th, 2019. It's a little bit different adaptations, but it's essentially the same message. We had that message then to introduce the need for us to be fully devoted to the Lord. Because we came off of 2018, our theme was seeking the Lord. And now it's fully seeking the Lord, fully devoted in seeking the Lord, just as I had the kids do, trying to find things. Anybody else find anything under your seat? Now you're starting to look, okay. There still is a dollar bill out there, by the way. I'll find it later, because I can't remember exactly where it is. As we take a look at this again today from Jeremiah chapter 29, this is a beloved passage. Many people use this as a memory verse. They've memorized this, at least a few of these verses here. But one of the things that we've taken a look at, being fully devoted, we went through the book of Nehemiah. And we saw Nehemiah's commitment to serving the Lord and being fully enthralled with that. We went through the book of Ephesians. And we saw how we as committed Christians, how we are going to be in Christ. And being in Christ is not a halfway thing. It is all or nothing. So there's the full commitment, the full devotion there. We also had our Vacation Bible School messages. I have to remind myself what that was. Amazing Encounters with Jesus. And as you, when you have an amazing encounter with Jesus, it's something that is special. It's something that you want to continue. You want more of those. So we need those continued encounters with Jesus. And then in the month of November, we had a short series on With All of My Heart, which goes along with being fully devoted. So we need to give God all of our heart, and we need to serve him with all of our heart. We need to worship him and all sorts of things with all of our heart. My goal in all of this, and I hope that you sense that, my goal is that we would be more devoted to the Lord this year than we had been in the past. And I leave that up to you because I can only preach it. I can't live it for you. It is up to you to put it into practice. And so kind of bringing things all back to the beginning, looking at being fully devoted, looking at seeking the Lord with all of our heart. I read the verse for the children, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. That's our focal verse. The two previous verses are the ones that we like to memorize and like to read. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, as I did back in January, I want to do again today. We need to understand the context in which this was given. Here in the book of Jeremiah, we studied parts of Jeremiah a year ago. Jeremiah was somewhat of a difficult book because it is a difficult time in the history of Judah and of Israel. And we get a context of this. We go back to the beginning of that chapter. You go back to the beginning of the book, but that's 28 chapters. You want me to read that? You want my voice to give out, don't you? Because you know it's not going to last long. If we go back to the first part of Jeremiah chapter 29, it says this is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests and the prophets and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. That sets the foundation, that sets the base upon which this letter was given, that we find these phrases. Israel and Judah had been lax in their following after God. Israel first, the northern kingdoms, the northern 10 tribes, they were lax in serving the Lord. The time of King Solomon, after he died and his son took over, there was a split that happened in the nation of Israel. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes. And in this split, the northern kingdom was away from Jerusalem because Judah was Jerusalem was their capital. And Samaria was the capital for the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom decided that they were no longer going to do things the way that God had prescribed for them to do. Even though this was their heritage, even though this was God's law, even though this was what God desired of them, they were going to reconfigure things and they were going to do things their way. And from that moment on, the northern kingdom refused to follow after God. Instead, they followed after the many Canaanite idols. And they adopted these other deities, proclaiming them to be their gods. They set up 2 false idols and they worshiped them. They sacrificed unto them. And they became ingrained in this disobedience, turning their backs upon God. The result of that was exactly what God told them would happen. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. You can read about the things that are going to happen if you are no longer following after God. If you don't want to follow the law, then these things are going to happen. And you will experience famine. And you will experience other nations overrunning you. And you will be carried away. You will be removed from the promised land. But I will bring you back, says God. I will bring you back, but you must face this discipline. And it's very interesting that God included that in his law. God said, these are the things that will happen if you don't follow me, so continue to follow me. And everybody does, right? Why not? Because we are rebellious, we are disobedient, we are selfish. We are prideful. Where's Anne? There she is. No. That's a conversation they can have with you. We have all of these characteristics ingrained in us because of the sin nature, and that's exactly what the northern kingdom did. They continued to walk in sin, refusing to bow to what God desired of them, and in the process, they found themselves taken away into captivity by the Assyrians, over 100 years before the Babylonians. Judah, on the other hand, they were on and off, on and off, on and off with God. But it seemed like they always came back. It seemed like there was a good king that was in there in the mix somewhere. And in the process of that, they would serve the Lord until that king died. And then back into the depths of sin they would go. And they adopted idols. They adopted other ways of worship, other deities. And in the process of that, they found themselves disciplined. They found themselves, their crops failing. They found that they were losing wars. And they found that they were taken into captivity. The first part of chapter 29. they were removed by the Babylonians, taken into captivity. Now, the thing about this captivity is, it was a time of discipline. God warned them ahead of time, this is what's going to happen. But it was a time of discipline. But he wanted to give them hope. So if you're still in chapter 29, which I hope you still are, he writes to them, look at verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Now, the verses before that, he tells them, you're going to go into captivity. It's okay. I want you to go, and I want you to thrive while you're there. I want you to plant crops. I want you to have people be married. I want you to have families. I want you to raise your kids. I want you to continue to live. Don't just, you know, put your head under the covers and say, oh, woe is me. That's our usual activity, isn't it? You know, if I don't get what I pray for, then I'm just going to do, you know, I'm just going to be a hermit or something. But God says, no, I want you to, you're still my people. I still love you. But you're going to have to learn your lesson. Now, for some of us, we'd say that that lesson, over 70 years, that's a pretty harsh discipline. 70 years, that's a long time. It's longer than you've been alive, Tony. That's a long time. And you're old, right? 70 years is a long time. And they were in captivity for a long time. But at the end of the 70 years, God called them out of Babylon. As was prescribed in the prophecy of Isaiah, that they would return just as he promised them here in Jeremiah. But they had to learn their lesson. We have a similar scenario in our world today. As Judah and Israel had done, they had rewritten God's law. They had rewritten the way that they were supposed to follow the things of God, that they were going to adapt it to their circumstances. They're going to adapt it to their changing culture. They're going to adapt the things that God had told them, the things that God said, these are right and these are wrong. They were adapting those and saying, well, we will choose what's right and what's wrong. We will define it ourselves. We live in a culture today that does exactly that. We live in a time in our world today where there is no absolute right and wrong, or so they say. There is. Okay, don't get me wrong. There is. God's law stands. God's ways stand. But people have continued to reinterpret and reinvent the things of God. Just like we reconfigured our seating arrangement here. Is there a right seating arrangement? Some of you wish we'd go back to the old way, though, right? I heard the comments and he came, where's my seat? But somebody else commented and said, okay, as a Baptist church, there are no longer back row Baptists because everybody, the farthest anybody's away is the fourth row. How about that? This is good. We tend to redefine the things that God has given to us, and we redefine it to what is comfortable to us. That is not acceptable. You cannot change the things that God has established. It is not acceptable. We do that with our time. We have daylight savings time. Everybody loves it, don't they? We don't like resetting the clocks, but we do appreciate the longer evenings during the summer. We just don't like setting it back so that it's a very short day during the winter. Realistically, we are not changing the time at all. We're just reconfiguring how we are going to use our time. what's going to be light and what's not. If you're on shift work, you still go to work at your shift time. You still get off at your shift time. It's just that there's difference in the lighting. That's all. But we think that we're making changes. We think that we're adapting things to better suit us. Well, we can't do that with the Lord. In our sin and our rebellion, we attempt to do that, but we can't. It doesn't work. God is not impressed and God is not changed. Many people today continue to forsake God's ways and God's rules, God's laws, reinterpreting it and calling themselves righteous and good. Let me refer you to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Now, that was written 2,000 years ago, but it surely describes us today. Especially the part where it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. We have churches today where people come and they say, well, I'm in church, so I must be good. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I'm called a Christian. And that's good enough for me. But they're not seeking after God. They're seeking after a social position. We have social churches in our country today where people will attend because that's the thing to do. Even in the Baptist convention, we have social churches. Traditionally, First Baptist Church is your white collar church in whatever community that you live. I can't make this up. And yes, there are communities that have Second Baptist Church. Most of them then adopt a name from where they're located, like Dowsman Baptist Church, something like that, or Four Corners Baptist, Bay City Baptist. But folks, we can't just reconfigure things and make it to our likening and disregard God. We take on an identity in a social, social atmosphere, but we need to maintain our identity as members of God's family. We need to allow Him to remain number one. Allow Him to be the one that we seek after instead of just seeking social status. And good enough. Israel and Judah tried to do what was common or what was going to be adaptive to the culture around them. If you know the Old Testament history, that's why they wanted a king in the first place. They came to Samuel and they said, Samuel, give us a king. We want to be like everybody else. We want to be like the other nations around us. We don't want to be left out. We want a king. And God told Samuel, go ahead and give them a king. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. They want to be like everybody else. But they don't want to follow me. Folks, we live in a time where people want to follow the things that look good. They want to go to the church where everybody else is going. That's why we have some of the fastest growing churches in the nation, here and there and everywhere. Large mega churches are popping up, but they never sustain themselves because as soon as the figurehead or the one that people are coming after as soon as they leave or go elsewhere, then that church kind of fizzles. You don't hear about them anymore. You need to go where Jesus is proclaimed. You need to be where Jesus is primary. And let that be your devotion. God still cares for us. And God's not, he's not done with us. It's not over. We may be in the last days, but we don't know how long these last days are going to be. These last days started 2,000 years ago. But they continue. And we continue in them. Where's our focus going to be? Where's our devotion going to be? Where is our commitment going to be? God has plans for us. Go back to verse 11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God's plans are still the same. He is not planning for us to be devastated. He's not planning for our destruction. Will we be destroyed in the process? Potentially, yes. God is not promising that the United States is going to be untouched. There's never a prophecy with regard to that. There's never a prophecy that the Christian family will not be untouched, that they are holy and nothing can touch them. Just as there is nothing in the prophecy that Israel wouldn't be untouched. As we know, they were touched and they were taken off into captivity. God's plans for us are, though, to prosper. God's plans are for us to succeed. God's plans for us that we would have a hope and a future. And that hope and that future is not in the things of this world. Our hope and our future is not in just having the reality of what we want. Our hope and our future is what God desires, what God wants. And that's where we need to be seeking. All too often, people want to go with the next best thing. Whether it's the new phone coming out and the new television coming out, the new movie coming out, the umpteenth movie of Star Wars that's coming out, whatever that case may be. Maybe Rambo's coming out again. I don't know. Huh? It did. Many times. We can't chase after the next best thing. We need to chase after the one best thing. And maintain our focus on that. Let me let you in on a secret. Our hope and our future is in Jesus Christ. He is coming back. He has not come back again yet, but he will come back. He's been here once. He purchased our pardon. He purchased our salvation. He is returning, and he's returning for those who are his. He is returning for those that are committed unto him. He is returning. He's not come yet, but he is coming. And when he comes, there is a future, an eternal future, that is our hope. That's our focus. That's where our directive needs to be. God wants to reassure Judah that there was a hope and a future for them. He wanted them to, when you're in exile, I know that you're in exile and I know that you don't like it, but you will be able to return. Maybe not in your lifetime, but in the lifetime of your children or your grandchildren. So maintain the faith. Maintain the hope and look to the future. And guess what? That's his same proclamation to us. Jesus' return may not come in our lifetime, but his return is assured. And he wants us to have that hope. He has plans for us, his thoughts, his purposes, his interventions. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." We can make all of the plans that we want, but our plans often fail. I did not plan on having a cold this weekend. Somebody asked me what I got for Christmas. A cold. That's my coal, I guess. Sally got that one. Everybody else is groaning. I didn't plan on that. I didn't plan on getting sick. The plans that we make are not the things that happen. But God's plans, they unfold as He desires them to unfold. In fact, God has planned everything from before the creation of the world. He has established His plan, His desires. And His plans are unfolding even today. So we know that His plans will be assured. He gives us a verse of assurance of a future, something that we can hang on to. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance." God is not slow in this. His plan continues to unfold. His ways continue to go on. God is not desiring for us to lose our way. God wants us to keep our focus upon Him. God wants us to continue to walk with Him. And He wants us to come to repentance. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to submit to Him. But there's a problem with that. We are the problem. Jesus is the answer, but we are the problem. We refuse to submit. We refuse to do as the Lord has directed us. We rebel. We're all rebels at heart. We want to do things our way and not God's way. God's plans are going to continue to unfold. God's ways are going to continue to go. And He wants us to know that eternal future. And that's the future that we have with Him if we will do as He desires. Repent. Good old church word. He wants everybody to come to repentance. He wants everybody to come to a point where they're willing to turn away from their ways and return to His. The ways that He established before the creation of the world. The ways in which He wants us to walk. He created us in His image so that we would be in fellowship with Him. But in our own ways, we have gone astray and we have walked in and made a division between God and us by our sin and our own ways. And in that process, there's this great chasm between us. But God bridged that chasm through Jesus. His plan for redemption was already in place even before the creation of the world. His plan was redemption and reconciliation for everyone who has ever breathed. God's plan was reconciliation with you. He wants you to walk with Him. And He wants you to walk in His glory. He wants you to be able to be right, as we talked about this morning, right all the time. Well, maybe not. But willing to admit when we are wrong. Willing to admit that we are not perfect. Willing to admit that we need Him. That's His desire. He wants us. I know the plans that I have for you. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to prosper. And that phrase goes on. I want you to, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on Me, and you will come and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. God wants us to come to the point that we are willing to submit ourselves to him and say, I'm not the one to control. You are. Oh, Lord, I need you. And we pray to him. And when we pray to him, he listens to us. It's not just talking to the air. He listens to us. And he wants us then to listen to him. And when we submit to him, then we will find that we can find him. That's the next verse, verse 13. You will seek me. You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Seek, to search out, to strive after. The kids gave us a good example of that. Notice when I first asked them, what does it mean to seek the Lord? Sunday school answers, right? Oh, to be obedient. Oh, to listen to God. Oh, to pray. You know, the Bible and Jesus are good Sunday school answers, right? Seek. What does it mean to seek the Lord? To strive after him. To genuinely seek after God. Have you done that with all of your heart? Have we sought after God with all of our heart, with everything that we are? Are we willing to seek after God with all of our heart? Are we willing to serve the Lord with all of our heart? Are we willing to give God everything, to make him our all, because he is our all? If you're a believer today, if you're walking with Jesus today, you know that you do not matter. God can do all of this without us. But God says, I want you to matter. And I'm going to live in you, and I'm going to live through you. And my spirit is going to be in you. And you will do, as Jesus said, even greater things than he did when he was walking upon the earth. Because he is at work in us. He wants to work through us. He doesn't want to leave us out. He wants to include us. But he wants us to seek after him. He wants us to allow him to be our all. Seek after the Lord, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. In our sinful ways, we are not seeking after the God. We're seeking after own pleasure. We're seeking after what we desire instead of what God desires. But when we seek after the Lord, we set our desires aside. When we seek after the Lord, we set our ways aside, and we allow him to be the one that gives us the instruction. And he directs our pathways. He shows us where we need to be and where we need to go and how we need to do that. And most often, God shows us one step at a time. Anne, when you were 25 years old, would you say, or did you ever dream that you would be here in this place at this time? Only a Christian for 1 year? And were you married? Nope. You didn't know anything about Bob? You didn't even know what retirement was like. You had no dream of retirement at age 25. Hope of. We don't know the plans that God has for us, but we know that his plans are not for us to stumble. His plans are for us to prosper. And so he wants us to seek him and seek him with all of our heart so we can see that prosperity, so we can see those blessings. It's not that every one of us is going to be a multimillionaire. That would be more of a curse than anything. But we would see, yeah, it would be nice. Be a nice curse to have for a while. Is seeking after the Lord. Some are going to be multimillionaires, others are going to be paupers. It doesn't matter your social level. It doesn't matter your economic level. It doesn't matter your educational level. What matters is your devotion to God. And that is something that we can all seek after. That we can be fully devoted with all of our heart, following after Him. Every one of us has to go from sinner to submission, to be a servant. You can't continue to be a sinner if you're going to be serving the Most High God. We need to set our ways aside, let His way rule, and then serve Him faithfully with all of our heart. And that's the whole point. Seeking after Him, serving Him, so that we can know what His will is. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that You have given to us multiple opportunities throughout this year for us to understand Your goodness and to be able to see Your reality. We thank You that You've shown us multiple examples of different ones that have given their all. And Lord, what a blessing it is to serve here where there are many individuals that are giving their all. Father, may we give You everything that we are, that You would work in us and use us for Your glory. Father, we desire to seek after You, not just a little bit, but with all of our heart. And in so doing, Lord, may You be glorified. Help us. Help us in this process, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Over this past week, I've noticed different individuals that have been coming over to the church. I've tried to stay away because, number one, I was not feeling real well. But I've taken notice of the different ones that have given, sacrificed their time, sacrifice of their talent, and putting in numerous hours in preparation for worship service, for all sorts of things in order for our church to continue to go. And they've done this throughout the year. It's no different just this weekend. But folks, we have different ones that are willing to commit to things of that nature. And then we have others that, if the church is there, it's there. If I like the seating, I'll stay. If not, I might go elsewhere. We need to be fully devoted to the Lord, fully devoted to following Him, and not allow the little things of life to chase us away. I ask you today, are you fully seeking after the Lord? Are you fully devoted to Him? Not just Sunday morning from 10:15 to 11:30 or whatever, but all the time. Have you given your whole heart, your whole life, everything that you are to Him? If not, I want to challenge you to do that today. To be fully devoted, yes. To be fully seeking after God, yes. But also to be reconciled to Him so that you can be serving Him and so that He can be blessing you. And life would be wonderful. You're the one that has to apply it, though. I have to apply it. We have to submit ourselves to Him. If you desire to submit yourself to Him today, I want to invite you to come forward. Now, Diane asked me last night, she goes, where are they going to go for the invitation? I told her I was confident that most of the front chairs would be open. So you can come from wherever you are. There's only 3 or 4 rows to come, so it's not going to take you long. But if you would respond, I would love to pray with you. We'd love to counsel you over the next several days. However, but respond to the Lord. Commit yourself to Him. Let's all stand as we sing together and you respond to the Lord Jesus.